Archer Mayer is an old friend to the Roundtable. It's a thrill whenever he comes to join us. His new book is Three Can Keep a Secret. It is, I am pleased to report, a Joe Gunther novel, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Archer Mayer back to the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, it's being here is a delight. Thank you very much.
I was such a big fan of your last novel, and I thought, well, you know, how's he going to top that? And then here you come with this, which has its roots in the aftermath of Hurricane Irene. And I find that ultimately fascinating, which is a long way of saying that this is very typical of how you operate, of taking very important issues and addressing them through this lens of crime fiction.
Yeah. I guess because in part I view the whole crime fiction lens as a secondary lens to the primary viewpoint that I take, which is of the human struggle, of the people around me, the people with whom I share a life in the broadest possible context, and their travails, their troubles, their doubts, their confrontations, in this case, with nature. If I am to do that, if I am to discuss the people around me in the state I call home, and I ignore something like Irene, then I better cashier out, because Irene was a huge fundamental effect on the state of Vermont. And people don't pay much attention to that because there are only 12 people in Vermont and it's way up there. And, you know, isn't that Canada? And then you had Sandy right on its heels, and that hit the huge urban areas, and people paid attention to all that. And I don't blame them. You know, millions of people affected versus a few hundred thousand. But Vermont had the snot knocked out of it, and I wanted to talk about that.
And it becomes, and I use this term not happily, but you know, there becomes that line in the sand, that red line where you say, okay, this is what happened before Irene, and this is what happened after. I mean, it's a very much an identifying mark to the state and to the communities.
Oh, sure. For years after, in fact, just the other day, we had some people visit my house, and we were walking around and in the yard, and someone said, well, how did you get hit? You don't need to use the word Irene. You don't need to put it in context. That phrase alone was enough to go, oh, well, you know, I did okay, or so-and-so down the block really got wiped out. And we have this as, like you said, I don't want to overstress it, obviously, because 9/11 was a terrible thing that happened in New York City, but it has that context to it in a minor form.
It is floodwaters that strip everything away, and you find out, first of all, it's Mother Nature, which is scary in and of itself, because you have no control over it whatsoever. And also, there is this cleansing of water that comes in and goes where it wants to go.
Yes.
And you explore this in the book, and ultimately, there are these what seemingly three unrelated cases that all an effect of the storm.
Yeah, I wanted actually in a sort of bizarre, non-pompous way to reflect to the biblical context of water and its effect. The Bible references water on a regular basis, both because of its cleanliness aspects and its erosional ones. And that touched on my storytelling hubris, if you will. So I step forward there, as well as just the historical reference that we've already touched on. And then there was simply gazing out my window. I have a stream right outside my office, which is the envy of many who visit my office. And I saw a stream that was once verdant and teeming with life, stripped to its bony, bare whiteness, exposed to the sun, the verdure stripped away, the soil removed, the interstitial tissue of Mother Nature ripped to the basic stoniness beneath. And it was so revealing and so shocking to me that I began to think of that in larger contexts. The effect of such erosion on human spirit, for example. And so I wanted to pursue that on a variety of levels, and Three Can Keep a Secret is the end result.
And what I find interesting about the novel in talking about the human spirit is how resilient it is.
Well, and of course, that's the point, is I actually, as you know, and as many other people do know, I have sort of three jobs. I work as a cop, and I work as a medical examiner, and of course, I write these books. That's right. The day job. That's the mother job. I was employed as a police officer.
Between the three, you can eke out a yes, living, sort of.
That's exactly right. And I was employed as a police officer during the storm. And thus, we were a missing persons case. We never solved it, unfortunately. And so I was out there searching for this person in the midst of chaos, and allowed me to travel the state or that part of it with some attention to detail. And again and again and again, you would see the signage of people sort of saying, take this, Irene, you know, up yours. And you would also just see people out there with their sleeves rolled up working on what looks like a Herculean task. I mean, one guy with a shovel, and what he's applying that shovel to looks like the pyramids. It's just a joke, but he doesn't think twice about it. And now, several years later, you go back and you go, well, by God, you did it. You know, good work. So there was that freshness to it in my eyes, because I was out in the middle of it, curiously not involved in any rescue efforts. I was trying to solve a crime, but it gave me a viewpoint that I cherished all the way to my writing table.
And when it reaches the writing table, what kind of filter has it gone through? Because it's safe to say that through that process, you've obviously thought about it
yes.
a lot.
Well, you need to, in my case, put it in both philosophical and poetical filters. You need to look at it in other than reportorial role. The newspapers are doing that. Journalists are doing that. YouTube is doing that. I don't need to just say to people a bad thing happened in the state of Vermont. I need to bring poetry. I need to bring language to bear to my best ability. And language will do a double job. Language, if you use it properly, can evoke images that touch on the physicality of the destruction and on its effects on the human spirit. And you might be able to put that all in the same paragraph, in the same kind of descriptor, by describing the bare exposed bones of a stream bed. You are invoking the same harsh effects on the human spirit in times of duress. If you pick your words properly, that's partly my job. The murder mystery aspect is there. That's always there. That's how I write books. Now I sell books. That's how I keep in business. But without the fundamental examination of human spirit and the highs and lows of we as human beings living on the face of the earth, I wouldn't bother writing books.
Was this a more challenging book to write in the sense that you did live through it?
No. It was...
Or is that the medical examiner detachment
that I think is necessary? That plays a huge role. Huge role. And it's good of you to put your finger on that, Joe, because I've been a medical examiner for a long time, and I have visited scenes of loss and death hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, well over 500 times. I'm a translator. I'm the guy who's supposed to keep his head. I'm the guy who's supposed to both respond with empathy to the loss and the mourning around me, but keep my head cool enough to analyze what happened. Because the person who's died is the person without a voice, and the person who metaphorically called me to the scene to say, speak for me. That's my job, in part.
And that part of the job is also to tell a hell of a story,
yes.
which you do in this book, I'm pleased to report.
Thank you.
So, and in comes Joe Gunther, who is, no matter what filter, no matter what lens you are using, he seems to be the right camera body for that, doesn't he?
Well, you know, he's been described by some as the everyman. I wanted to create a hero who was not heroic in artificial ways. He is heroic because of his solidity, because of his goodness, because of his integrity, because of his thoughtfulness, because of his ability to be a team player and to make mistakes and atone for those. As a human being, he's a hard guy to beat. But in these modern days where Dexter is a hero, Joe Gunther is a bit of an odd duck, but I stay true to him because he plays true to what I consider the best of the human spirit. He cares, and he brings thoughtfulness to the process. I hope that's what I do in all the various things I perform, but I also want a character like that to be a hero. And okay, so I don't have any movie deals and I don't have people knocking my door down saying, ooh, we want to make Joe into the next icon on People magazine. But I'll live with that because Joe's fundamental decency is something I think is worth heralding.
Do readers often make the connection of you being Joe?
Well, they do in error, yes. I mean, I'm no Joe. My favorite one-liner on that is that a long time ago, now my daughter, who, of course, is an all-wise 30-year-old woman, calls me up and at a far younger age, still wise, but a little more all-knowing in her mind, if not in fact, and said, hey, Dad, you're still being asked whether you're the real Joe Gunther. And I said, oh, yes, it comes up periodically. And she sighed wearily, the weight of the world on her shoulders. And she said, am I the only one who knows you're really Willy Kunkel? And of course, Willy Kunkel is the most irascible character in my series. He's short-tempered and judgmental.
And I asked the question because it was something I used to talk to Robert B. Parker about, where he would say that there is often a separation between author and character, but because in his case the books are so often told in the first person, and that he was constantly being thought of as Spencer, and the fact that he would often be seen at the back of the book jacket with boxing gloves around his neck didn't hurt either.
Yes, well, being Robert Parker was probably a bit of a burden for Robert Parker.
Yeah.
No, that notwithstanding, I think you put your finger on it when you identified me as having the soul of a medical examiner in a funny kind of way, because as a writer, I think you'd better like your characters if you were to meet them on the street, but to become your character becomes too close. And I think many authors, the names which I'll spare you, come to my mind certainly as people who grew too close to their primary protagonist. And I think that's a mistake. You can't live through fiction.
And for you, it is always fiction. And is so there's a duality to your life that is fascinating, because there can't be anything more real than being a police officer, being a medical examiner. And then, even though you are writing about many of those topics, of entering a fictional place.
The symbiosis between all three jobs speaks for itself. In fact, it leads to another oft-asked question, which is, do you bring real cases to bear in your books? And my response is always, no, because that would be utterly lacking in integrity. You wouldn't be honoring the people who had suffered in those real case scenarios. But if you think that I don't go to these scenes and absorb things and take mental notes about subjective observations, then you're nuts. I mean, of course I bring those to bear. That's the whole essence of my creativity, is to be able to visit all these worlds. It's also therapeutic, let's face it. I can't be exposed. I mean, as a cop for 3 years, I ran a unit, a special investigations unit that only focused on sex crimes against children. Now, if you don't think you don't need an outlet for that kind of stuff, you're nuts. Yeah. So I took that in my fiction, and I never was overly burdened by what I saw during the day during those investigations, because I had an outlet through my fiction. Now, did I write about that? No, I did not. But I used the distress. I used the human spirit in turmoil. I used that and brought those to bear in my writing.
The new novel is wonderful. It's called Three Can Keep a Secret. It is published by Minotaur Books. It is a Joe Gunther novel. Archer Mayer, it's always a thrill to have you on the program. I wish you nothing but the best of luck with the new book.
It's a delight to be here, Joe, as always. Thank you very much.
Again, the title of the book, Three Can Keep a Secret. Archer Mayer is the author. It's published by Minotaur. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.